Welcome to the Sociological POV.
This podcast emerged from some fascinating discussions
in an introductory sociology course
at Lansing Community College,
where we attempt to gain insight
into other people's perspectives,
the good,
the bad,
and the world around us.
We hope to mirror that concept with this podcast
as we welcome a range of voices from diverse backgrounds
to share their thoughts on a current event
or topic that matters.
So with that said,
let's get into it
and start gaining perspective.
Hi there. Today we have
Jafret,
Eric,
and
Kira.
And this is Eliza Robison here at LCC, Lansing Community College. Today we're going to talk about the value of education today. So I hope you're going to enjoy this topic. I hope this is something that relates to you. And our first question of the day is, what do you think about our education system today? Eric, you want to go for that one?
Yeah, I think education today is just, it's more a matter of money, not just to get the education, but also to a goal you need to reach with education instead of just getting knowledge and information, which is basically what is education. Mm-hmm. And yeah, no more stuff, blah, blah, blah. But now it's just a matter of money.
What about you, Kira?
Yeah, I definitely think it has become a for-profit business, and it's also become less of an optional thing, especially in the job market today. I think a lot of kids don't feel like they have as much of a choice for a degree, for an option, or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that it's easy to kind of tell your children to go and get your education and do this, but not help them with accessing that or, you know, navigating it. And also, that process is a little bit confusing for many just fresh out of high school, because that's usually the people who go into higher education. And I also think that it is very expensive. Not to say that, you know, community college is better or worse or anything like that, but I think that for what you're getting, it's too much.
Hmm. Okay. And it sounds like you were saying almost there's no educational literacy. Like, we don't get financial literacy as young people in the society. It's almost like we're not getting that explanation. Okay, interesting. What do you guys think about how education is valued today? And then what patterns in our culture right now indicate that it's valued at this level? Is it valued high? Is it valued low? What tells us that?
I think about it in like two separate contexts. So like within, like I was saying, the job market, it's very valued. Like a degree is better than no degree, even if you have experience in that, mm-hmm. like that job or anything. Like they'll be more likely to hire someone with a degree about something random or not about that. But also I think a family context or just like a population context, a lot of people are thinking it's not worth it for what you're getting, like Jafret was saying. It's just too expensive. There's other options. Like, you can make it work in the sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't really see many other options except for, like, trades or anything. But I don't want to personally go into trades, so I find my only other option is college. And that's why I'm at community college, because it's free for me. So that's the options I got.
Okay.
I have.
Any thoughts to add on that?
I think it is value, either in a good or in a bad way, because in a good way, you have the knowledge to educate other people, right? But in a bad way, how would I say it? I don't know how to translate it, but it is like people might feel superior than others.
Yeah. Having credentialism.
Credentialism.
Yeah.
And like, there is this idea of you have to go to college. And not just any college, you have to do to some specific one. But again, we return to the topic of money, where they are, because they're expensive. But what about those who do not go?
Mm-hmm.
They are in a different, like in a lower stratus of the society, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even though there is just a difference of knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for people to get access to education as is, but also the companies that are hiring people require degrees. They require like this and this and this, and it's no more, no less. And especially now that AI is kind of delegating those applications to the bin, or, oh, this is a potential candidate, or this. You know, there's less of a human interaction with that, but they require it, and also the access is very hard. Like, it's low accessibility, but it's in demand.
Hmm. Okay. Do you think that this has changed over time? Do you think that education has, I mean, you guys are talking about this in two separate things. In the job market, it's very valued, but outside of the job market, it's not valued. Do you think that this change has been happening over time? And what might be decreasing the value in the general population?
I think that it is valued 100%. In my opinion, socially and in the workforce, it's valued because it's like, oh, look, my son went here, or, oh, I went here, you know, and people are like, wow, they did this and they went on to do this. But I think that the point that I was trying to make is that it was easier to go into education like 50 years before. And it was like a nickel and a tissue, you know, the cost. But now it was easier to access back then. And now it's just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go into this much debt for this. And I don't even know if I'm going to get a job.
Gotcha. What about connecting that with not just college, but before that? So secondary and primary education, are those two segments of our educational experience preparing us for college, or is that part of this kind of big leap? You're talking mainly about the financial investment. Our early education, is that not preparing us for college well enough?
Well, so thinking about the application process, because, yeah, I like what Jafret was bringing up, like, the application process has become so crazy. Like, my great aunt, who went to college in like the late 70s, early 80s, she only applied to U of M for her undergrad, got in, went to U of M, and then only applied to Wayne State Law School, got in, went there. So she wasn't even thinking about any other schools. She knew she could get in. But even like from birth, from parents picking their school district that their kids go into, I think that plays a part into their college. But also the tests we have, the SATs, there's also the ACTs, but my school or my district did not do that. But even in middle school, in my language arts class, we had PSAT Fridays. So since tween age, I had been practicing how to take this test that I would take in 5-6 years that would determine my college acceptance. So I just think it's kind of crazy we do that from such a young age. It's more, sometimes it feels like K through 12 was focused on how to take tests and how to get into college than more than just the knowledge of learning.
And it sounds like, and I think there's data to back this up, there's more people going. So there's going to be more competition. So they have to make the stakes higher. And that's good that more people are going. But then how do you maintain the value of a college degree? You see what I'm saying? That's tricky. Because we want more people to go. But are they prepared to go? Yeah. What do you think, Eric? You think this is Something outside of the education system is causing this change?
I think the education system is changed in base of the working market.
Okay.
As he said, socially education will be always valued. It doesn't matter the time, I guess, I think. But when we talk about working, the job market, it is always changing. Like, before COVID, it was different, and I guess 10 years before that, it was totally different too. So, and the education system will change based on the job market. So,
do you guys think it's changing fast enough? I mean, with everything with AI, that's a huge change. But also think about how there's such a need in the trades right now, but we're not getting people in the trades. So it's almost like we have too many people going one direction and not enough people going in other directions.
Yeah, like everyone wants to a degree. That's the main goal for everyone, literally everyone, and we don't have enough, what is it called, workforce?
For certain jobs.
For certain jobs.
I know for My brother-in-law works for the Carpenters Union as their political director, and a couple years ago they put $1 million into like a trailer that they can haul around to different schools and different events that like you can walk through and kind of learn what it means to be a carpenter or a millwright, mm-hmm. and like the benefits that they get because they get paid during your apprenticeship. There's so many benefits to becoming a tradesperson to try to draw people in, but still they're not getting as many people as they need.
Yeah.
They're paid very well. As soon as you're an apprentice, you start building your 401k, mm-hmm. and you get health benefits, and even some cases they provide housing, free housing. Mm. There's just like so many opportunities. They were at the Ferndale Pride event a couple years ago, and I met a trans carpenter who used the money they received to pay for their gender affirming care from like their apprenticeship with, mm-hmm. the carpenters. But it's still not a big enough draw for kids. They still see college as only the only option. Because for so long, we were told, go to college, go to college, go to college. And now it's like, well, now we need other to diversify as well.
You know, the talk about, I think here, it's more populated. So, and it's a college town. So, like, they're going to be like, oh, I want to go to this college and I want to go to this college. And that's mainly ingrained to you, for sure, in, like, elementary school and high school. But in my experience, I come from a smaller town. It's bigger now, but when I was younger, like it was very, very rural. And so a lot of, like, we had this thing called the Career Center where you would go and do things. I chose health science, and there was like a million other options that you can go, but there was a lot of welders, and then there was a lot of like electricians. And to me, that seemed predominantly what younger, mostly male kids were going and choosing to do. So it's funny that there are some places that are lacking of workforce, but like,
because in the rural town I am from currently, I see that as well. That's more popular. There's more push, mm-hmm. for it than I imagine is happening in the urban college town.
Right.
So, and that's that, we were actually talking about this in class, mm-hmm. today, right? The rural and urban difference, we don't think about that as really a defining feature of someone's identity, but it does have a big impact on things outside of just your workforce, including political, mm-hmm. ideology. Yeah, I think that's a great point. The college town aspect is for sure. And then it's like, if you don't go to college, you know that the identity is not valued, mm-hmm. as much, mm-hmm. within the larger workforce. What do you think about students in school today and options finishing school? I know that you kind of already touched on that there's not a lot of options, but I'm thinking more like kids that are coming up through school right now. What do you think it's going to look like, especially with the role of AI, the changing expectations in the classroom, as you guys know. What do you guys think about that?
Not to be like a hater on younger generations, because it's not their fault, and I hate when that happens, but I just don't think they have enough educational responsibility on themselves, because so much of it is online. Even like, I'm 21, so I think I was like one of the first kids to have Google Classroom or like D2L or anything, where homework assignments started being due at midnight compared to like if you turned a homework assignment in person. So that already leads to kids staying up like later, or it just changes the way, mm-hmm. kids do school. And with so much of it being online now, it makes me very nervous. Like yesterday we had the Amazon service or whatever, the power outage, and D2L was down. Like, we couldn't do anything yesterday. So
I didn't know about that.
So it just makes me nervous how reliant we are on, and how that's going to change the need for memorization versus understanding. I think that's the point I was trying to get towards.
Is
it's mostly memorization right now, at least in high school. Mm-hmm. It's like coming to college, I really started to understand the need to understand my classes and how they all interconnect and that kind of situation.
Yeah, which could be a good and a bad thing,
yes.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that a little, like the younger generation, I have two nieces and a nephew. They're very young. The oldest is 13. She just turned 13. But looking at them, I just think that there is still the want for education. You know, they're good students and they're very, although, yeah, they'll be rambunctious at times. Yeah. I think that they're going to be okay, because as you get older, all kids are annoying. Mm-hmm. All kids are, not saying that yeah. they are, but, you know, as you get older, you start to mature and you start to realize, hey, like, I need to do this, I need to do that. That's where the responsibility yes. kicks in.
Yeah.
That's mostly, I think my responsibility, like my sense of responsibility didn't kick until I was like 18.
Exactly.
So
yes.
I think that they'll be okay. And right now it might seem a little gray because of AI, but mm-hmm. I think that we will adapt. We as in younger children will adapt to it in yeah. their own way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, I think the same. Same as we did. I mean, we didn't have AI when we were at middle school or high school, but we had internet, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was a new thing, or what, iPhones, the new
yeah,
ones,
yeah,
the
right.
new cell phones?
It's not much different.
So by that time, the education system couldn't handle all those things, and the education system now cannot handle the AI, mm-hmm. so it's kind of the same thing.
Right, and as the technology advances to have access to AI, there's also going to be advancements in, like, mitigating the use of it, you know?
Right.
So, although I don't like AI at all, I just think that pessimistic?
Oh, yeah.
I think that they'll be okay. Humans are going to be humans. And
I think they'll, okay. yeah, specifically like Gen Alpha, I think they'll feel the need to take on AI and the consequences
right.
and the both the benefits and the consequences of AI, just in the sense of like Gen Z and millennials taking on the responsibility of climate change and like the environment. I think each generation has one of those things, and that will be Gen Alpha's is AI, and it's like relationship and education.
Hmm. Do you think that AI and everything before that has been changing expectations? You mentioned responsibility, but the expectations of what a person in the society is supposed to do. I would say, for example, what I see students struggle with is turning things in on time, communicating with a teacher when they have problems with something. And I feel like those expectations in the past would have been like, of course, I have to do that. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing that someone, you know, an individual, oh, you're bad because you can't do this. I just don't think it's being taught. I think those expectations have changed. And I suppose you could say that AI can handle all that, right? I mean, maybe that's what it is we're just, our culture is just going to allow AI to take over those responsibilities.
Yeah, I think in the sense, I don't mind AI for the menial tasks or like your bibliography or like the sense of like that where like, yeah, you should know how to do it, but you can help use AI. I mean, I use generators for my citations and everything. I think it just comes to the critical thinking points, because in my high school, every class I went to every day, there was somewhere on like the chalkboard or the whiteboard of like the learning statements of, and there was always some form of critical thinking within that. And so I think once we start using AI for the critical thinking, or being asked to use AI for the critical thinking questions, is when we reach a place. Is that where you were getting at? Of like teaching the responsibility?
Yeah. So you're saying AI could potentially take that over as well, and that would be a loss of responsibility for the individual
yeah,
person?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Just like being able to use your brain muscles
yeah.
in the sense of juggling everything.
Right. But I mean, in the education system, that takes a lot of development.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I see that. I've taught at third, fifth, middle school, high school, college level. You have to be every step
yeah.
of the way. I imagine it's more than a question on the board to help people really access
yeah.
that ability. And I don't know, like you said, we're already focused on memorization. Can we, in the future, with the way we're going, especially with kind of questioning of the value of going to college, can we still promote critical thinking and get people to see the value in that? Or is that something we just allow AI to take over?
I think it's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're already past that.
Yeah.
You guys are like, we're already there. Okay.
We're now dealing with the consequences of that, because
okay.
I think when there was a push to remove critical thinking from like things that are critical of blank and blank, blank, you know, legislation wise. I think that was initially when we started to go, you know, and then AI is just exasperating that problem even more because there are people who are online using things that have been generated by AI, like, oh, well, this says this and this and this, and not doing their own research. So I think that, that's already an issue. But were you talking about the role of teachers in that sense?
I think
that nothing can replace the human contact that a teacher provides. And also nothing can substitute what the expectations for your teacher are. So like if you have a question for a certain thing, AI is not gonna answer it how your teacher would like you to answer it, you know? So it's that thing that you have to go and you have to be like, hey, so this and this, how do you want me to do this? You know, and then they'll elaborate.
Okay. Well, do you think there could be anything that replaces what we have in the future? If we do go in the direction of more reliance on AI, is it possible? I mean, you mentioned something earlier about opportunities, and it made me think of how people become like YouTubers or gamers, right? I mean, but this is real. It may not be a common thing, but a lot of young children believe this is the direction they're going to take. Actually, let me add on to that. Could this have anything to do with exacerbating social inequality that we see? Access to AI or going to get a college degree, the options that are available to people, as that shifts, are we going to see increasing gap between the wealthy and the poor in this country?
I think that that gap is already exacerbated as it is. And I think I know what you're referring to. Like if they go into these professions and with the amount of money that they have, is that what you're talking about? Like
kids are interested in that because of the money?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. But you have to take it. Like if you ask a little kid, like, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they're like, oh, I want to be like Kaisenet or like a streamer. That's okay, I'm not going to take that, like, I'm going to take that with a grain of salt because these little kids, their brains are not fully developed. My brain is not fully developed. My frontal lobe is not fully developed yet. So I just think that little kids are going to say odd things. And when they see things on YouTube and when they see things on TikTok and when they see things on any social media platform, I think that that's something that just sticks to them.
Yeah. So the grouping is happening online and there's no social network or social connection and teacher to be outside of that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think like being a YouTuber or like a kid wanting to be a YouTuber or something is, it's the same degree of like wanting to be a rock star or something when you grow up, but it's also much more obtainable. I mean, like it's still hard, but you can start now and start posting videos to try to gain that kind of experience and stuff. But again, yeah, agreeing with Jeffrette, I think the use of the internet can make you feel like you aren't isolated when you really are from the actual world. So you think you're okay, and that just leads to the loneliness epidemic. Then you end up with everything else. So I think it is a problem for turning that into education. We want to focus onto education.
Well, that sounds like a great topic for another.
Yeah,
we're straying. The grouping. I really like it. So we got to wrap up, but I really appreciate you guys being here with us. I hope it was a good conversation for everybody listening, and I hope you have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Sociological POV.
Thank you for your time.
This podcast is featured as a part of LCC Connect,
a podcast network developed by Lansing Community College.
To listen to this episode on demand
or explore other LCC Connect podcasts,
visit lccconnect.com.
We hope you'll join us again
on the Sociological POV
as we explore
the good,
the bad,
and the world around us.